The big thing we try to focus on is referrals. What we really try to do is devote our attention to making sure that everybody's getting referrals and learning how to give referrals too. There are reasons why people don't get referrals. There are really three reasons.
Welcome to the More Clients, Less Effort podcast, where we provide expert insights and strategies to turbocharge your business growth. I'm your host, Tim Hyde. And in this series, we'll unpack the secrets, proven systems, and the sales and marketing strategies used by successful business owners to attract, convert, and keep A-class clients on autopilot. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur looking to scale your customer acquisition or a budding startup owner looking to crack the code on attracting the right clients, you've come to the right place. Join us on this journey to building a thriving business that leaves a lasting impact. Now let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of More Clients, Less Effort. I'm joined by the amazing Frank Agin today. Frank works to empower small businesses to achieve more by helping them create dynamic professional relationships. He does this by operating a membership-based referral program called AmSpirit Business Connection and shares insightful content via his podcast, articles, and books. And you can learn more about Frank at frankagin.com. And one thing I want to pull out here as well, Frank, you also won a monthly free networking event called the Networking Hub, where we met. Actually, we met through LinkedIn, but, you know, got me along to Networking Hub, which is a fantastic event every month and at a very convenient time for us here in Australia and you there in the US.
Well, that's what I love about it. I just had a conversation with somebody like, is that local? I'm like, no, it's not. It's really not. What's her name? Wendy Corner, who's jumps in. She's from the other side of Australia. She says, I'm going to be in Kuala Lumpur this month. Can I come in? I'm like, hell yeah. It's the same time zone. So
well, I think that's one of the things that Zoom has really enabled us to do, right? Certainly online communications like Zoom and Teams and Google Meets. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other ones out there as well. And I think particularly over COVID, it's a really allowed, you know, a deeper level of connection internationally, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I tell people the only two things that Zoom can't fix is one time. I mean, they're just parts of the day that you and I can't talk, right? I mean, one of us is in bed.
Yeah, and don't call me at 4 a.m.
Yeah. The other thing that Zoom won't fix is I have no idea how tall people are, right? I mean, it's just, you just have no idea. You run into them in person. It's like, man, you're really tall or wow, you're really short. But, you know, we're all 6'2" on Zoom. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I actually am pretty close to 6'2", just for reference. Okay. I think one of the things I love about Zoom is also, you know, particularly for networking events, you know, you can literally, it's a 20-meter commute from your bedroom to your office then. Sure. You can get away with wearing your pajamas, which is probably something you couldn't do at a face-to-face networking
event.
Well, you could if you sold pajamas or just really wanted to create talking points.
Or just wanted to turn people off or whatever.
It's a new fashion, though, Frank. I did actually see two women out yesterday who were wearing something that quite looked like pajamas.
Yeah.
But that aside, you weren't always a networking guru, though.
I really had no idea what networking was. My parents were educators. My dad was a professor. My mom taught high school. And I was always kind of brought up on the notion that you go to school, you do well and accumulate degrees and the world is your oyster. And I followed that path. I went to undergrad, went to law school, got an MBA, started my career in a very prestigious accounting firm doing tax consulting. It was a great job. It was a great pay. It was great everything. I just didn't want to do taxes for the rest of my life and decided I would leave to go into private practice. And a funny thing happened to me when I went into private practice. And the funny thing was nothing. I had no idea. I just figured people would start calling me. Oh, he's out there, you know, and it doesn't work that way, as you well know. As we both know. And so I really was deathly afraid for about a month or so because I just didn't know what I should be doing. It's a little complicated, at least for in the United States, because attorneys aren't allowed to be calling people. We're not allowed to just pick up the phone and call somebody and solicit. You have to wait for the phone to ring. So somebody
pretty hard
said,
without marketing, right?
What's that?
Very good at what you do. You're just hoping someone somewhere recognizes your expertise
and
buys from you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard until you get going. Somebody suggested, I ran into a friend from law school who had started her own firm and I asked her what I needed to do. And she said, why don't you get into a tips club or a leads group? For those who are listening, like BNI, and I really didn't know what she was talking about. There was an organization that was here in town. It wasn't BNI, very similar to BNI. It was based out of Pittsburgh. I went to that first meeting, and it was a brand new chapter. You just indicated you had started a chapter. So it was, you know, it wasn't huge. But as it was explained to me, it made total sense that you could lift up your whole world just helping other people and trusting that they'll do the same in return. That's the notion behind BNI. That's human nature. You know, Ivan Meisner didn't discover that. It's just, that's how we're hardwired. And I realized in that moment that I'm horrible at self-promoting, but really good at promoting others. And if I could just trust them to do the same, I would be fine. And I mean, it's not Hollywood, right? It's not 2 hours later, all my problems are solved, but I finally found a way that I could get some traction. And this is the mid-90s, and just really took to it like a fish to water, started doing really well. And there's a longer version to the story, but at one point had an opportunity to buy it. And I did, and stopped practicing law. And this is in 2003, became what I call a student of networking. Why does networking work? Why doesn't it work? Why do people get referrals? Why don't people get referrals? And there are answers to all of it. And you know, luck is not the answer at all. So I have been building this organization. It's very similar to BNI, and continue to grow it across the United States.
Yeah. What was it about the networking thing? Because I'm sure your parents at this stage going, you're an idiot, Frank. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? You're giving up this law practice. Okay. Probably something that makes every parent proud. It's like, my son's a lawyer.
Right? Yeah.
My son's in private practice, and leap into this other thing. Right. Presumably there's got a few members at this stage. So it's, you know, it's turning over a little bit of revenue. What was it about that shift completely out of everything you'd known into this business that was both exciting and terrifying for you?
Yeah. You know, I really had the conversation with my wife. You know, I was self-employed at that point, and my dad was already kind of beside himself. I have a brother and a sister, and we all went self-employed. And he was of the mindset that you get a job in a university or something like that.
It's like, you're all crazy. What did I do?
Right. Yeah. What did I do? You're all adopted. Who's the father? but really having a conversation with my wife and just saying, you know, if I practice law, I know where I'll be 30 years from now. And it's not a bad existence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very prestigious. It's not, but I know where I'll be. I know what I'll be doing.
It'll be comfortable. Safe.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I do this, I have no idea what's on the horizon. And that's exciting. I would not be talking to you. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I would just be in a whole different pond of people doing a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it opened doors I didn't know were existed. And yeah, I look at some of my friends who are attorneys and, you know, wow, what a neat life. But I'm sure they look at me and say, wow, what a neat life. You know, I'm going to court today again. And it's a whole new existence.
Yeah, it's one of my things. I'm probably the same thing. I got out of uni in IT and jumped into the corporate career, the government career, then the corporate career. And then I've gone, this is not right. Something doesn't quite sit well with me. And, you know, same as you, right? You know, parents in professional services, grandparents in professional services, as far back as I can remember. And everyone was in a corporate career of some description, you know, working for the man. And then for some reason, that just didn't fit me either. In fact, I love this poem, you know, you probably heard of it, right? The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost.
Yeah.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And I couldn't travel both, right? But I stood at this crossroads and decided which road I could take. And effectively, you know, looked down one as far as I could go. Look down the other as far as he could go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I took the road less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. And it has, right? You know, we get to this point in our life where, I mean, obviously that's paraphrasing a much longer poem, but we get to this crossroads in life and go, I can see this one.
Yeah. And
it'll be comfortable, but I reckon I might be a bit bored with this.
Yeah. Well, I looked at it, and again, the United States, law schools are putting out attorneys by the thousands every year. You're really a glorified plumber. You come in, you fix somebody's toilet or sink, and you give them a bill and you're on to the next thing. And I'm not disparaging it at all. It's just not exciting. So
it's not all TV, you know, it's not all suits and Boston Legal.
no, not at all. Yeah.
Hello. We wish it was, but, you know, legal dramas aside.
Yeah.
What was the terrifying thing for you? You know, what was that thing you had, you know, you felt like you had to talk to your wife about and say, am I being an idiot? You know, am I making the right choice here?
Well, I think the terrifying thing was, is I was so confident, you know.
Okay. Explain that to me.
Well, because, you know, I was buying a business that was already in existence. I was going to put my fingerprints all over it. I had to change the name. It had a very generic name. And by contract, by agreement, I had to change the name. But I was just, and I was already helping a lot of these groups, and everything seemed, I cannot miss, right? I cannot miss. But if, you know, anybody who's a fan of sports or just business, I mean, there are just things that come out of nowhere. What's that thing coming out of nowhere that I don't know about? And that was the thing that scared me. It's just, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, there have been things along the way, Tim, nothing huge. I think the early on thing was when I first took over, about 25% of the organization left, not immediately, but pretty quickly, because they were just of the mind that, oh, wait a minute, this was based out of Pittsburgh. Now this local attorney guy is taking it over. It can't possibly be better.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that the woman who was running it was really running it out of her condo, one room. And, you know, I got people here. It's my office. It really wasn't a better position here. I had a bigger vision for it than she did, but you can't explain that away. Especially with, you know, the organization's large. You're not talking to everybody every day.
Yeah. I mean, I know you've got well over 1,000 members now, and obviously not something you can do without franchisees, which is your model. You mentioned that you very quickly became a student of networking. What's one thing that you learned about it that was surprising for you?
I don't know if it's necessarily surprising, but just how much science plays into it. Bro, there's a lot of great networking books out there, and they throw out these conjectures, right? You know, have a good handshake, go out and get to know people, you know, small talk. And they really don't understand that there really is stuff behind it. There's actual studies that are behind these things. And I think it was early 2004, my stepmom handed me a copy of a book by a guy by the name of Wayne Baker. Dr. Wayne Baker is a professor at University of Michigan, and that's all the guy studies is human interaction, the psychology of it. Mm. And from that, you know, you read one of these books and a quarter of the book or a lot of the book is all footnotes referencing other studies. I mean, it's like you cannot be done looking at studies at that point. And so I realized there's just so much to why we, you know, why we have relationships and why they're working and why they're not working.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's the thing. And I must admit, I mean, just to pick up the BNI for reference, we don't have AM Spirit Business Connections in Australia. We do have BNI though, and I was a member for 6 years previously, left, tried a couple of other networking things, have gone back to it as well. And Dr. Ivan Meisner has this thing he calls Giver's Game, right? Very similar to your philosophy there about if we give to other people, you know, selflessly, fearlessly, right? Eventually they go, what is it you do? And I'll ask the question. Yep. In fact, I did hear a story years ago of a guy who did not even pitch his own business. He would get up every single week and talk about other people or about his family or whatever, never about his business. And he closed more business than everyone else in the chapter because eventually people would say, I owe you.
Yeah.
Right? You're such a good guy. You bring me so much opportunity. I feel like I owe you now. Right. And this idea of giver's gain, right? If you give people, you give to people, you get it back. And again, student of studies and experimentation for me, tried it. You know, you walk up and down the room and you say, this is what I'm doing. And when I first joined BNI, I was selling digital advertising in the early noughties, which wasn't a thing, right? People didn't know what an impression was.
Right.
Most people didn't have websites back then.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So it's very different 10, 15 years on from that. Facebook didn't exist.
Right.
LinkedIn didn't exist back then when I started selling digital ads. And, you know, it would say things and watch people glaze over and they didn't know what I was talking about. But as soon as I started making this pivot and going, you know, I'll just make an introduction here because it's an opportunity for someone else. It doesn't cost me anything, and I'm not expecting any reciprocity, that I actually started to get reciprocity.
Yeah, and that's human nature, and we're hardwired to do that.
Yeah.
And yet I run into people all the time who cannot stop pitching themselves. You know, slow down, buddy, slow down. You know, it's got to say it. If I don't say it, if I don't ask for the business, if I don't push, I won't get it.
Yeah.
And that's the reason you're not getting is because you are pushing.
Yeah. A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. You use an application so that QuickBooks communicates with your website and uploads details for members. Tell me more about that, how that makes life easy. Because I know, like, you try to duplicate yourself as much as possible, which is quite difficult to do in a networking context.
It is. But my philosophy's been for years, and this ties into a lot of what you do, is that there are certain things that you can automate. There are certain things you delegate, and there are certain things you just can't. You can't delegate a relationship, right? You can't go to your wife and say, "Hey, I know it's our anniversary. I hired somebody," right? It just doesn't work.
Could you imagine? They're gonna take you out tonight.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. But, there's a lot of necessary evils to business, and they're mainly administrative. And to the extent that you can automate those sorts of things, the better off you're going to be. So what was happening is, as the organization is growing, we're getting, and it started out on paper, right? It was very analog. Here's your invoice. We would mail these things out. We would try fold them, get them mailed out, and then we got to the point where we were emailing out PDFs, and now we're just putting people's invoices up on their website profile, letting them know they're out there with a simple email. They can go and they can pay online. But we were getting a lot of inquiries as to, hey, can we get a W-9, which is a form in the United States that taxing IRS makes you send out? Can we get this? Can we get that? And it's just taking a lot of time to answer the same question over and over again. But they're all different questions, right? I mean, they're same, but they're kind of different. And so what we wanted to do was be able to get all their financial information up on the website. And originally, what we would do is we would do this very somewhat complicated export from QuickBooks and then run all that data through a macro and then upload it to the website. So if you called me and said, "Hey, can you change this on my website?" I would be like, "Yeah, I can." Or on my website page, "I can," but I wouldn't say this, but it's going to be 3 hours until I can do this complicated thing because I don't want to do it every moment. And then we stumbled across this software called LetSync that basically just taps right into our QuickBooks. And then every 15 minutes, it cycles up. And then every 3 hours, it cycles down. Anything that changed on the website comes down to us. So now people can actually change their information and then it comes down to our files. We just don't need it as often as people would expect it on the website. That's just saved a ton of time. I used to have an assistant that worked full time. I have somebody here part time. We just don't have the need. It's just at every turn, okay, how can we automate this? Because all our website is a giant database. What else can we share out? What other information? Oh, somebody wants to join? Let's just automate this. They get information on the organization, then they get an application. They fill out the application, goes to the group votes on it, the group likes them, then they get a payment link. It's all very automated. But the downside to automation is when, that what we were talking about it earlier, that 0.1% of the time when it's not working, it's like, oh my God, the sky is falling.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things when one of the messages I try to work with our clients around automation is we want to look at really three things, right? One, does this add or detract from the customer experience? Right? And particularly the depth of human relationship. So if it requires a phone call, don't automate the phone call, automate the task to remind someone to make a phone call, right? Or pick up the phone, go and meet someone in person, right? Because ultimately automation is chronic. We want more intimacy at scale. That's the sort of fundamental thing. And you're doing that with your system. And I know you've got another one in your business that allows members to go and electronically invite other members, right? Make it easy for your members to invite other members. And they'll probably do so. If it's too hard, they probably won't,
That's
right?
right, yeah.
So look at the depth of human relationship we want. Second thing we want to look at, is it relatively simple? Is it a relatively simple task? Complex tasks are quite difficult to automate and they're more prone to breaking, as you've noticed. But if you're just copying data from one system to another system, which we do in business, right? But often between our financial systems and our website or some sort of CRM or whatever, we want to automate those as much as possible, right? The third thing to look at, I think, is frequency. How often does this thing happen? Right. So if you've got 1,000-odd clients who are updating their details, well, yeah, that thing's going to happen a lot. If you're selling movie tickets, that's going to happen a lot. Right. If you're selling out tax forms to every client, that thing happens a lot. Might happen several times a year. Right. But if you're looking at a thing that's complex, only happens once a year and requires a high degree of human interactivity, do not automate it. There's no business case.
Well, and we have some of those things in the business where Like every year, this training is supposed to happen in the organization, and we need to mark it down on the website that it happened for a particular chapter. But you're in D&I, you get it. Yeah. And it's like, hey, why don't you automate that? It's like, you know what? This happens once a year and it's just a check mark. And I don't want to devote money to the website for something that literally is, it takes an hour every year, right? I mean, it's not a big deal.
Systemize it and document it so it can be repeated. Absolutely. Right. But may not require automation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It may actually cost you more if you automate it than you, than if not. Well,
but at some point, there's a tipping point or there's a point where it makes sense. We're just not there yet.
Frank, why do people choose AmSpirit over other options?
The big thing we try to focus on is referrals. That's why people come to these things. You know, there are a lot of networking groups out there. You probably hear about them all the time. You know, I tell people that if you get a box of donuts, you can have a networking group. And a lot of people do. And I'm not disparaging anybody. They all kind of serve their purpose. But a lot of them, it's what I call gather and hope. Let's gather people in. Let's hope referrals happen. And when something great happens, let's all point our fingers at it and say, yeah, see, it works. What's happening is working. And what we really try to do is devote our attention to making sure that everybody's getting referrals and learning how to give referrals too. There are reasons why people don't get referrals. There are really three reasons. One, they don't have a relationship. You know, just join the group. Hey, you can't expect referrals out of the gate. The second reason is that people do a poor job of explaining what they're selling. Yep. And that's really the big one. That's the huge one. And the third one is that they do a good job explaining it, but it's a topic like life insurance. It's really, people aren't really comfortable talking about, you know, so they might know somebody who could be a good referral, but they're just kind of sheepish as to what to say. So we spend a lot of time when we work with groups in that middle part of it, just getting people to stop talking about what they do. Hey, I sell digital ads. Well, that's what you do. And talking more about when you do it. You know, hey, I was working with the local golf course and helped them get an ad. So anytime somebody went on and did search for golf equipment, they were going to be coming up. You know, their ads were going to be coming up because those are the people they want to get their information out to.
Yeah.
That's telling people when you do it. Now, oh, okay. You know, I just don't do it for golf courses. I do it for law firms and plumbers and all these things. That sticks in people's minds. Mm. Whereas just talking about what we do, well, I sell houses. Okay. That's just kind of in one ear and out the other.
Yeah. I think that's one of the lessons I've learned from networking is definitely been, you know, just telling people who you work with and what you do, right? You know, I sell houses. I work with accountants, right? Does everyone know an accountant? Yeah, of course you do, right? You've probably got an accountant. But then it becomes very difficult to know how do I introduce you into a conversation in a way that seems natural and easy for me, right? Not like, I mean, I don't get too many conversations from naturopaths because it's very difficult to throw the marketing and automation conversation in when you're talking about the amount of roughage you get.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. What are three books that you would recommend to people just starting to get into networking and why?
You know, I've written several books. So I'll name one of my books, Foundational Networking. And it's really about the attitudes and habits of networking. But me aside, promoting other people, Bob Berg has got the book, The Go-Giver, which I highly recommend. And Dr. Adam Grant has a book called Give and Take, which really kind of delves into the whole notion of reciprocity and when it works and when it doesn't work. And those are two really good books.
Yeah. And I know you've got another one, which you're sort of very graciously giving to our audience, the Giving Journal ebook, which you can grab from the show notes and from Frank's website over at amspirit.com. We'll put the link in the show notes there. Frank, if you were to go back and give yourself one piece of advice as an 18-year-old about to embark on a career in law, what would that be?
You know, I've asked this question of other people. And here's my answer. My answer is, get to know people. I mean, I went off to college. I went to college to play football, American football, was very involved with the football team, joined the fraternity that was very involved with the football team, hung out with football players for 4 years, and have started to meet other people from campus that I never hung out with and realized, wow, they were really neat people. What did I miss out on? Not that there's anything wrong with the people I hung out with. I could have just been more diverse in what I was doing. So I kind of, if I had to do it all over again, if I had advice to give to that, you know, young person, I would You know, go ahead and do all those things, but make time to meet these other people too.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen if you start being open to other conversations, right?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you this one before, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway. If you had 10 times the budget you have now, what would you spend it on?
Oh, boy. Boy, that's a good question. I mean, we're so bootstrapped. You know, I would say marketing, getting information out there. That would probably be it. Just getting information out, get more opportunities to talk about the business. And I don't pit us against BNI. I mean, BNI's been great because they've really created a market, if you will. But the more people who find out about it, Tim, the more people are intrigued and want to ask the question you've asked, what's the difference? And if I can sit somebody down and try and explain the differences to what we do, but, you know, just getting in front of people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Frank, really appreciate you jumping on the podcast today and sharing some of your wisdom and expertise. You run an amazing organization. You can find out more about Frank over at frankagan.com and amspirit.com. AMSPIRIT. Both amazing, an amazing organization. You're more than welcome to come and join us on the Networking Hub once a month. I think there's a link to that on frankagan.com as well. I'll see you there. Frank, really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your wisdom.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Guys, thanks again for joining us on another episode of More Clients, Less Effort. If you've enjoyed today's episode and you feel someone could get benefit from this, I'm sure from all the nuggets that Frank has shared today, there are many. Please like, share, comment, all the good stuff by clicking the three dots at the top of your podcasting app. And we'll see you on another episode real soon. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of More Clients, Less Effort. Join us next time for another insightful discussion filled with actionable advice and inspiring stories, all geared towards helping you grow and scale your business simply and easily. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. See you next time.